Welcome. We are Dave and Cece Roberts, and on this podcast, our desire is to connect our community through conversations about following Jesus by sharing our stories.
Stories are powerful because they can inspire, encourage, challenge, and connect, and we hope this story does just that. So as you listen, if there's something that resonates with you, send an email to the person sharing their story, which you'll be able to find in the show description. Today, we had a chance to sit down with Jeff and Ann Lucas, and I was so inspired how, as a couple, they learned to hear the voice of God and learn to trust each other in hearing that voice.
Yeah, and I was really challenged by their story because in the story, you'll hear about how they learn to follow the Spirit's leading. Their journey, their life looks differently than they thought it was going to look when they were kids. And that's what happens when you follow the Holy Spirit's leading. He is going to take you into some interesting, you know, areas, seasons of your life. And what's cool is you'll hear that throughout every season, the Lord was with them, leading them and guiding them. And it wasn't easy. There were some difficult times, some fires, but the cool thing is the Lord was with them in the midst of the fire. So here is Jeff and Ann Lucas, and we hope you enjoy their story.
I don't have a preference who goes first, but why don't you tell us about growing up, your childhood?
Sure, I will go first. So I am Ann Lucas. I grew up youngest of six kiddos on a fruit and vegetable farm. So farmers need lots of workers, so you have big families, right? So I grew up going to church all my life. Every Sunday we went to church, every Wednesday, you know, once I was in school age, we had class. Did all that. So like, I always knew God and Jesus. Wasn't till probably like high school, college, where I was kind of like feeling the stirring to find more. I didn't really know what it was or what I was looking for. But I remember like trying out different churches because I just wasn't feeling I was getting it at the one I was at. And that still didn't really work, but I would go like with my friend to their church in the same denomination at that time. And then we met and started attending a non-denominational church. And it was life-changing for me when I heard people praying words that weren't already written down. I just remember, wow, you can talk to Jesus this way. And it was just new, so new to me. And it really kind of started our faith journey together, where we would pray together, read the Bible, and spend that time together.
So you grew up in a tradition where there was a lot of prayers that were just recited, prayers that were previously written. And yeah, so all of a sudden it was life-changing. Wow, I can have this relationship, my own relationship, and talk to God how I want to talk to him.
Yeah, there was just so much to that. Like, oh, I can hear God too. And instead of not just even talk to him in using my own words, but really have that relationship that definitely changed my life in many ways. When I was mid-college and started, you know, dating and going to churches together, and that really brought us closer together in our faith journey.
So Jeff, why don't you share about how you grew up, because that seems like it's a pivotal time in both of your lives, all of a sudden realizing that you can have this relationship with the Lord. So why don't you go back and bring us up to speed? How did you grow up, and what was faith like as you were developing as a little boy?
Yeah. I grew up with, I have three sisters, two older, one younger. My parents both grew up Catholic. Actually, my dad grew up, he grew up Lutheran. My mom grew up Catholic. When they got married, my dad went to, or became a Catholic, we grew up Catholic, and I did catechism, got my first communion, was confirmed. And, church was every Sunday, and, you know, I could pretty much recite the entire hour because, as Ann said, it was very regimented, and it's pretty much the same thing with a 5-minute homily, I believe it was called. And then you get, you know, look forward to donuts afterwards in the hall. Faith wasn't really much for me. It was just part of everyday life. You know, I didn't really know any different. I wasn't engaged with the Holy Spirit. I wasn't really, you know, doing anything to enhance my spiritual growth. I was just living daily and doing what a lot of West Michiganers do, the checkbox. I went in the military after high school, and I prayed every night, but it was a canned prayer. I could recite it now, but I'm not going to. After the military, I had an opportunity to work for a very spiritually blessed family. And the mom asked if I would go to church with her. And it was the beginning stages of Ridge Point. So it was at the Knickerbocker Theater. And I remember going to a service with her, and there was a band on stage. And I was just, what is this? And I remember, you know, the band started playing and there was drummers too. And it was like, what is going on here? And then the pastor, after worship, he gave his message. And that's when it really sank in. And I was kind of blown away, like, wow, I actually learned something. This felt good. It really was the beginning of our journey together spiritually. We continued going to Ridge Point, and we actually were married at Ridge Point, which caused some issues. Ann's family is Catholic as well. There were some challenges with, you know, not staying in the Catholic Church, but we worked through those. Had a really nice wedding after that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that was even just the initial, like, trusting God that whatever's going to happen, if certain family members attend our wedding or don't, just trusting in the Lord for that and giving time and letting God do his work. And everybody came that was supposed to come. So that was great. But
Do you guys remember the conversations that you had after going to those services at the Knickerbocker and drums and sure on all of that, but just the message and all of a sudden, wow, this is different than what you heard growing up? What were the conversations like between the two of you?
We were actually excited to go back to church on Sunday, talking about the message, you know, what was shared. I mean, I don't ever recall doing that growing up. It was completely different. It was night and day difference. And, you know, even when we invited friends to go there, we were able to have conversations about spiritual growth and about what was going on at church and just really owning it and making that a true part of our life.
At what place in parenthood were you at this time? Were you parents yet, or?
We started attending that church when we were dating. So we didn't become parents till about 5 years after we started dating. So all through that time we were there.
So we moved from Ridge Point, moved from the Knickerbocker to Ridge Point's current location. We had Sam was our first child. He's 19 now. And we were youth leaders at the time. Again, not something I ever thought I would do. you know, I think of, you know, my dad was catechism teacher. It's much different being a catechism teacher than being a youth leader. We were really engaging with the kids. Mm-hmm. And that was probably one of our most significant spiritual growth moments together being youth leaders.
Yeah. And some of those kids taught us a lot of things that we didn't know just because we came from a different background. So it was definitely a mutual relationship, which I think is how it should be anyways. That was a lot of growth in that. Like, we have to lead these kids and we're kind of leading them blind a little bit. We felt like a lot of days.
Talk about that a little bit more. You know, it's often when like, hey, I'm going to hop in and serve. It's, you know, at those moments when you're hopping in and serving that you grow yourselves a lot. So how were you guys growing at that time?
We were drinking milk at the time, spiritual milk, and not solid food yet.
Sure.
Ann was probably a little more grounded spiritually than myself. I was trying to figure it out still. And, you know, what does it mean to lead this group of youth, you know, where I'm still fighting against what the worldview is versus the spiritual view, where Ann was a little more grounded in, you know, her spiritual ways. And you could see that, you know, she had small groups of teenage girls that she was leading. I never had a group of young men that I specifically grew with. So I think that was probably one of our, I would say not a division, but where Ann took a more spiritual growth direction And I was still moving along at a good pace, but not at the same level. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think, you know, I just got more involved in maybe like a Bible study with other women and grew from that and then just learned to, you know, have like a daily practice of being in the Word and prayer time, where I think that took you a little longer to commit to that.
Right. But I think part of that is the accountability. And I think that's key. You know, you had these girls that you were holding them accountable and they were also likewise holding you accountable mm-hmm. to the teaching and whatever your lesson was for that week, where I didn't really have that.
Yeah.
I had what we had on Sunday afternoon or whenever we met for youth group, but I didn't have the daily grind as well.
We were just growing. We were new parents at that time. I remember nursing my child while like leading Bible study with the girls on my couch.
You're not allowed to say that, Anne.
Jeff, you had a pretty significant spiritual experience too, though, right?
Yes.
A little bit later.
Yeah. I would say my baptism into really truly owning what the Holy Spirit is, who the Holy Spirit is, making that part of my journey. Again, it was a group of men that met at Ridge Point, and it was through various churches and just kind of a random group of guys. My supervisor at work, he joined me. He's a solid Christian guy, and we always had great conversations. And then we had this opportunity. Britton was involved. There was a couple people from Ridge Point, and then, like I said, there was probably four or five other churches, but just solid guys that were like, hey, what is this whole spirit, you know, the spiritual growth thing? What is the Holy Spirit? Really didn't quite understand who the Holy Spirit is. So we met, at Ridge Point, and we're like, okay, well, what is the agenda going to be? Well, there isn't an agenda. The agenda is what the Holy Spirit gives us for this day. So we met at 7 o'clock and we would just go until we felt the Holy Spirit was like, okay, you're good. Let's pray and move on. But the growth came with my fire for the Lord, fire for the Word was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I remember going to work. I'm like, man, I need to go home. I need to take a half day because I just want to get into the Word. It was amazing the amount of spiritual growth and that desire for it. It was incredible. There was a lot of growth that Ann and I had together, just really learning how to pray together mm-hmm. and how meaningful that was or is. You know, and I'm not saying that, yeah, we continue to pray every day. Yeah, we have our peaks and valleys with that, but we know how important it is, and we do our best to continue to try and make time for praying together, not just when there are significant issues to pray about.
And what were you seeing take place in Jeff at that time?
Complete transformation. Just wanting, you know, like he said, just to be in the Word, to be present with that. Praying together was huge. I was really praying for years that he would kind of take that spiritual leadership in the family. I was kind of sick of being that one. I've wrestled through that over the years and God answered those prayers finally. I think now we pick each other up when we both need to back and forth now, but it was definitely an answer to prayer just to see him leading, spiritually leading with our kids. We had two kids at the time. They were probably, well, it was before we started foster care. So it was 6, 7 years old around that time. Just definitely being able to lead our children to even greater know the Lord and the relationship with them.
Yeah, one of the challenges though that came with that, it was very unique. You know, I was growing at a rapid pace and I had all these guys around me to walk with. And I think there was some jealousy from Ann because I wanted to spend all this time with these guys and just continue growing where I was kind of leaving Ann kind of out there. It was a, you know, a weird time. I think there was probably 3 months of this. And we had some intimate conversations about, you know, this is great that you're growing, but, you know, don't leave me behind. And it was a struggle for me because I was on fire and I loved spending time with this group because there was so much food. There was so much growth that that came with it. It was hard to separate the two, if that makes any sense.
So you guys go through, or you, Jeff, you're going through this time of growth, and in your life there was this awakening of like, I can have this relationship with Jesus and pray and hear from the Lord and be directed by the Lord. And you mentioned you had two kids at the time, and you mentioned a little bit about foster care. Why don't we go into that? How did, you know, your relationship with the Lord, praying, but also just as important, listening to the Lord, how did that direct the next season of your life?
So it was one Sunday, we were in a service, and as a couple were sharing their experience of foster care, at the end of the service, Jeff and I both like tears running down our faces, listening to their stories, listening to the statistics. And I thought it was like one of those services where everybody was like crying. And I looked around afterwards, like, oh, it's just us. What's going on with that? And I remember hopping in our minivan afterwards and kind of looking at each other like, what's up with this? Like, I think we need to have a talk. And you kind of went, I think, on your own and just prayed. And then we prayed about it together. Like, I think we need to pursue this. And it was always something that, like, growing up, I would like hear maybe a message on the radio, or like I said, I grew up on a farm, like people would come. I remember this one family like had a bunch of kids, and for a bunch of kids, like I grew up with six kids, so a bunch must have been a lot. I remember like, why do they have so many kids, Mom? And like, oh, they're foster parents. Like, so always like kind of planted those seeds in my brain. And so I think when it just like fully came out, like we could do this. Carrie, can we do this? But we can do this. We prayed and we just started on that journey, met with a couple that share their testimony, and they were able just to share like their experiences and you know, give us some clarity, like truths and not truths, like what you may know about it from the media or movies. And we started getting licensed. And so that was, yeah, our two kids were like in first, second grade at the time when we got licensed. And it took a little bit of a time to get licensed, probably less than a year at the time, but we had a placement very soon. And I mean, even part of getting a placement, when you get a phone call, you have to like say yes or no, then typically a few minutes to a few hours. And we've always agreed like, okay, we have to be in agreement on if we're going to say yes or no, because you can say no. And we have said no, just different scenarios just don't work with our family. That's just trusting God. I mean, you're saying yes, and literally 5 hours later, two strangers enter your home to live, right? And to love. And that's unique for sure. And just a walk of faith for sure.
Yeah. I think I remember vividly that day, that service and their testimony. And I had no desire whatsoever to adopt, foster, never crossed my mind. And then I'm listening, I'm like, dang, just that Holy Spirit fire inside of you. And just like, wow. So typically when Ann and I are holding hands and there's a significant spiritual component, she just squeezes and that's when the tears start flowing on me. It's pretty amazing. But I think part of that whole service really was about, you know, being obedient to the Spirit. And, you know, that's been a significant journey for both of us, and really hearing and doing, because, you know, I remember we talked about, well, maybe we'll just become licensed to foster, but we're only going to take kids on the weekends and do the respite and see how it's like. No, the Lord had different plans for us. And yeah, our the first kids we had, you don't get a portfolio on each child showing, you know, their entire life history. You get, well, it's a boy and a girl, and we think their names are this. We don't really have too much more information. You in or you out? Oh, well, here we go, right? Yeah. So it was very, very scary, but it was also, you know, a leap of faith.
Can you share with us what it's like when you get that confirmation, when you know, what do you mean that you want to be in unity. What do you mean that the Lord gives you a prompt and yet you don't know everything? Can you put that into words?
I know when we get that confirmation, it is kind of like the glue that keeps us together, because even though it's hard, it's very hard. Like, you know, this is the work that God has want us to do. It's that peace you have in your heart that even though it's super hard, he's with you. And you just know that you're walking on that path that he wants you. He's, you know, created for you.
Yeah. I think it's understanding and trusting your spouse too, because again, we're at different moments in our spiritual growth. And, you know, I think Anne she's a little bit further down the path, if you know what I'm saying.
He's calling me old.
No, I'm saying, you know, sometimes I feel you're more connected than me. It's really trusting in your spouse and, you know, your spiritual gut. That we're doing the right thing. And honestly, it comes down to both having peace. And that's really how we evaluate big decisions that we, you know, we have significant emphasis from the Holy Spirit. And it's just like, Lord, if this is the way you want us to go, give us peace in this. You know, 100% of the time, he gives us that peace.
And I like how you said, you know, following the Holy Spirit and that peace that comes, that's like the glue that keeps you together when things are pretty difficult, and you're going to have those times. But if you don't have that confirmation from the Holy Spirit, then it's, you can kind of give up. But it's that glue that keeps you together and keeps you moving forward during those difficult times. How would you guys summarize life following the Spirit's leading?
It's exciting, but it's hard, especially in our journey with foster care. You know, there's a quote that I think Francis Chan has in Crazy Love, where God wants you to live in such a life that you need him to show up each day, else you're really sunk, right? And I feel like that's part of it. And there's kind of an adrenaline-ish to that in a weird way, that we actually closed our license for a couple of years. And I miss that, like, not that our other children don't, you know, make us trust in the Lord a lot either, but just knowing that God is with you, that you are being used by him for his glory and his purposes is amazing.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that things are going to be easy.
Oh no.
It just means he's got your back and he will get you through the fire.
Yeah.
What advice would you have for other couples that are listening to this, that are getting a stirring in their own spirit about foster care or adoption? What advice would you have?
I would say you're never going to be fully ready. Mm. It's kind of like, you know, when we're financially set, we're going to have kids. Well, that's never going to happen, right?
They take all the money anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it gets worse, right?
Yeah.
I think it's truly that is, you know, you're never going to be fully ready to foster, adopt. You just have to do it, you know. Mm-hmm. Again, you have to have that spiritual peace between both of you to say, yeah, we're doing this regardless. And you just have to take that leap of faith.
Mm-hmm. And it's fun to watch God show up. Our second placement was a 9-month-old and a 5-year-old, and we said we were never going to take babies.
Jeff said that,
yeah. And then we kept getting called for babies, and Jeff was like, no. And so we got another call for one, and I called him because, like we said, we discuss everything. He's like, well, I'm going to be home for lunch in a minute, and I share the details that we could share, and he froze. He could not speak. I'm like, what does this mean? I have to call them back.
It was a transformation of the heart. It was the craziest thing. And that's exactly what happened. Ann called and I'm like, no, how many times do we have to tell them? No, we don't want babies, right? Three and up. Well, this is a 9-month-old, and not just the 9-month-old, but you know, he has a cast from the waist down, both legs and one on his arm. Like, no. So I get home and we're like, well, let's talk about this. And there was a moment where I'm like, I physically cannot get the words no out of my mouth anymore. And I could just, within a matter of probably 3 minutes, my heart, it completely transformed to from no to, well, let's do this. Let's see what else they have to say. And then we did it. And it was one of the best experiences in our life with this family, or these kids. It was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you were at the point like, well, we don't have any baby stuff. And like, right. God showed off. Like within, you know, one post on Facebook, we had the cribs, the car seat, the clothes. And it was like the week of Christmas. So people were dropping off presents. I mean, God just likes to show off, right? Yeah. And I mean, he just taught us so much, especially in that placement, about restoration, reunification, because the goal in foster care is always reunification. But what I recently learned is God wants restoration. Just a little bug. And he taught us so much how to love on this birth mom that we were working with. And I remember the day praying, thinking, oh, this child's going to be better in our life. God, why would you want him to go back to his birth mom? And it's hard to say those words, but God's like, I love her. I'm like, okay, cool. I get that. You love everybody. He's like, no, you need to love her too. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I did. And it was amazing because he did go back and we stayed in relationship for years. And he would spend the weekends here often and just, you know, as part of our family. And it also led to us not being afraid to say yes to babies, and led to our youngest son that came to us at 9 months old as well. And, you know, we adopted him. So it's amazing when you follow his lead, what he has in store for you that I would have never imagined when I was in high school trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, that I would be a foster mom. And,
you know, you bring that up and I just had that same thought, you know, is this the life that you thought you were going to be living when you were, you know, a kid, you know, like, oh, wow. You know, could you ever envision this?
No.
I mean, I wanted to be a mom. I knew that, but beyond that, I've never thought that. I always said I wanted a small family. And now I think we've counted through just a couple traditional and a different foster care program we were involved. It's been like 30 kids that we've had some hellos and goodbyes with. So never would have thought that.
One of our missions with this project of interviewing people from our church is putting up emails in the comment section of the podcast if people have questions. Are you guys open if we put up your email if someone had questions about adopting or fostering?
Yeah, that's one of the things I personally love to share our story with this, and just to talk to anybody about, you know, any of these questions, because there's so much doubt that plays into this. But you know, I think, you know, we have a success story. And, you know, just to show that, yeah, it wasn't all great things through our journey. There was probably more hell than there wasn't. But, you know, you do grow stronger. And I think it is something that helped our marriage grow stronger, is that we have to be unified. Mm-hmm. And without unification, it's destructive. And that's, you know, that's something, you know, even with bringing Sean into our family, yeah, you obviously have to be unified with that. And that was just a cool thing. It was kind of like, well, he's just meant to be here. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, we'll adopt him. No big deal. Yeah.
God's hand was totally in that. Even when I met with his original foster family, it was like, I felt God saying, you really need to be friends with this person. Like, it was like a weirdest feeling, and really just his hands and the purpose that he knew where he was eventually going to be.
So to kind of wrap up this conversation, you know, you guys are, who knows, you know, what the rest of your life is going to look like and how long any of us have, you know, on this earth. But you could be like halfway through your journey here on earth. And what's next for you guys? Where do you see the Lord leading you? What's your prayers like, you know, for you guys, for your family, as best as you can tell right now, because it can change at any minute. You know, what's the future?
You know, that's really up to God. Like, we've always just followed his lead. I used to try to be a planner, and then I read the verse, I think it's Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans of the heart, but the Lord's purpose prevails. And I never knew what he was going to do in my life. And I don't know what he is going to do, but just to stay connected with him and see where he leads. We could be, you know, fostering, maybe adopting, maybe not, but yeah, I don't know. We just kind of trust him. Don't have a big plan.
Yeah. I, you know, I think again, with my journey, you know, the peaks and valleys, when I'm in the Word and I'm continuously praying, I see how the Lord shows up and how he's working much more significantly than when I'm not. And it's a lot easier to put my faith and trust in what tomorrow is going to bring when I am closer. And, you know, there's, you know, significant changes for the future. You know, we have Sam who's off in college. Sydney will be going to Calvin next year. You know, we have Sean who's going to be 9. We've got many years left with him. And yeah, we'll see what happens. So, you know, we don't have those long-term goals of, you know, we're going to do this or do that. It's really take it one day at a time and see what the Lord brings us.
Well, I love that because it reminds me of the verse in Matthew 6, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything else will be added to that.